Complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us, that he himself may speak to us through the sound of his holy word. And that's your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter we read in the first book of Samuel, chapter 30, and in particular, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Particularly that last clause. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. This chapter 6th verse of chapter 30 of the first book of Samuel. David was fleeing from Saul. He had a difficult pathway. But there was one truth that helped him through. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God, his God. David could say, my God, my God. Oh, how many of his psalms are founded upon that knowledge imparted to David by the Holy Spirit, that he could say, my God. We have a hymn, don't we? I think we sung it the other week. O God, my Father, blissful name, O may I call thee mine, my God. Dear friends, this is the strength. This is the strength of all the Lord's people as they journey through the varied circumstances and scenes of this life. Faith in the knowledge that he is our God. Now, you children, you may know much about the life of David. I just want to go over some of the things which bring Dave to this point in his life. You know, there's many lessons, isn't there, in these historical accounts, whether we are young or whether we're older. Things to teach us, to bring us in dependence upon God, and how we should live our lives practically in the fear of God, so we do not come into great dangers of, shall I say, the judgment of God. As you know, David, in his very early days, kept the sheep. He was a shepherd boy. But the time came in his life when there was to be a change. As a boy, he knew of God. He was a Jew. He was of the men of Israel. He was of the tribe of Judah. He would know of God. But he came to a time in his life when he could say, my God. Oh, I pray for that for each of you children and young people and each of us who are older. That we're not just mindful that he is God, but we can say, my God. And that came when David was anointed king, wasn't he? Yes, he was anointed king through that oil poured on his head. Like our king when it was his coronation. The oil was poured upon his head, anointing him king. But David had more than that. He had the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God upon him. And that changed his heart. That gave him faith. That gave him trust. That gave him knowledge of the greatness and the goodness and the mercy of God. And that he needed to depend on God all of his life, all of his days. The Spirit of God. Now that is what we need to know, isn't it? The Spirit of truth to come down, revealing us the things of God. His mercy, his truth, the gift of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. That great grace, that love, oh, the faithfulness in all his promises to make us depend upon him and to know that he will provide for us and help us all our days and never forsake us. That changes our heart, doesn't it? It makes us true believers in God. And that's the foundation of any blessing we come across in the Holy Word of God. The gift of his Spirit to teach us. Teach us of God, teach us of Christ. Teach us that we are sinners. Teach us our dependence upon him. To give us faith and to trust in him. Oh, may it be so. Oh, what a change came to David, didn't he? When he went and the Philistines were fighting against Israel. And that great Goliath was standing against Israel, folks, looking for a man to come and fight against him. Only David, as a shepherd boy, with his sling and with his stones, had the bravery to go forward. He didn't go in his own strength, did he? David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That word encourage means strengthened. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He said to Goliath, didn't he? You come against me with your sword and your spear and your shield. I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Yes, his God, his own God, my God. And he gained the victory, didn't he? He succeeded in destroying that great enemy of the Lord's people, Goliath. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Oh, when we face dangers, when we face particular dangers which or dishonouring to the things of God. Now we need to stand firm and fast against them. And to go in the fear of the Lord, in the strength of the Lord our God, in faith. Knowing that he will fight the battle for us. That increases our faith. And now David needed that faith increased, didn't he? Because we find that after he killed Goliath, all the people gave more glory to David than they did to King Saul. And Saul became very jealous. And Saul just wanted to kill David. There's another lesson here, isn't there? Not so much with David, but the spirit of King Saul. You know, we've all got an earthly spirit, which is evil. And jealousy is a great evil spirit. We all have it in our lives, particularly young, old, and also when we're older. Perhaps someone has greater honour given to them than we do to ourselves. And jealousy rises up within us. Oh, why are they considered better than we are? Why do they have more praise and honour than we do? Why are they perhaps more skillful in various things than I am, we are? And why can they do things I can't do and they benefit from it? And our jealousy, envy rises up, doesn't it? And we think in from our hearts what we might do to change it. Perhaps we might think even to do them harm and damage, hurt them, tell lies about them. How evil are our hearts through jealousy and envy. Oh, the Lord must keep us. We have to pray, don't we? To be kept from an evil spirit which came upon Saul, King Saul. It didn't do him any good. He died a dreadful death. Oh, so our prayers are not only for the Lord to bless us in the Spirit, but his good Spirit to rule our hearts, to govern our words and ways, that his grace shall abound in every part, teach our tongues to sing his praise. David had to flee from Saul, didn't he? Because of the anger, the jealousy, the viciousness of Saul. David didn't try to kill Saul as he did Goliath. Why was that? Goliath was an enemy of Israel. Saul was of Israel. And the Lord had appointed Saul to be king of Israel, even though he became an evil king. David would not put his hand against the things which God had appointed. That's something we need to be careful of, isn't it, in our own lives. Not to be against unduly those who are amongst the Lord's people, those who are of perhaps the same family and kinsfolk as we are, particularly in the church. And even though they may be in a different spirit, perhaps an evil spirit ruling them at the time, and we cannot understand it. Not to do anything against them. Not like David did against Goliath. David had to encourage himself, didn't he? Again and again. Encouraged himself in the Lord his God. For God to preserve him. God to fight his battle for him. God to keep him from the power of King Saul. Oh, this text is very much prayer, isn't it? In times of trouble, in times of difficulty, whatever it is of our lives, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. We may get greatly distressed, but we've still got a throne of grace to pray unto the Lord through the mercy of Jesus Christ. What a precious thing that is. Now, when David fled, he acted hastily, didn't he? He didn't seem to have time to pray unto God. He hasted through Nob. He went into the Philistines. And there, it was the same as with Saul. He thought they would kill him. They thought they would take his life. What did David do? David said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord saved him, delivered him from all his trouble." David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, even though it hasted away without any due prayer and attention to what he was doing. We can easily do that in the time of critical time of dangers, can't we? When things come upon us and, oh, we seek to save ourselves and we lean to our own understanding. But the Lord was mindful of David. David said in a psalm, "The Lord knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. We do not always act in the fear of the Lord as we should. But when we come to the Lord in prayer, oh, this poor man cried. The Lord heard him. The Lord heard David, delivered him from the king of Gath. And David fled to a cave, Adullam. Lots of people, 500 or so, other men, they came to him, and his mother and his father. And David went down to Moab, to Mizpah of Moab. Now here's another lesson we learn here. David, in his trouble, in fleeing from Saul, his mother and father had come to him, because Saul would no doubt try to do damage to them, being David's kinsfolk. David honoured his father and mother. Oh, they couldn't be tearing around from one place to another, as David had to flee from one place to another. His parents were now perhaps much older, frail. He said to the king of Moab, "Please, take in my mother and my father. Can they stay and provide, do provide for them?" David honoured his mother and father, that to do what was best for them. Now our mothers and fathers, when we are young, they do the best for us, don't they? And as we grow, we're to honour our mothers and fathers. And times come when they perhaps need us to help them. Oh, ever be mindful of your mothers and fathers. As the scripture says, honour thy father and mother, that thy life may be long upon the earth. But David still had to flee. And God spoke what David should do. It's wonderful, isn't it, if we're given some guidance through the word of God, what we should do in a time of danger. God sent his prophet Gad to David and said, "Go into the land of Judah." Now that was David's own land, wasn't it? David's own place. That's where David was brought up, in Bethlehem, where he kept the sheep. But it wasn't safe for David to go into the town of Bethlehem again. Saul would be looking out for him there. David dwelt in the wilderness of Judah. That wasn't such a pleasant place, was it? But it was the place where the Lord would have him be. And God saved David again and again from Saul, who came to seek David in the wilderness of Judah. There's the wilderness of Ziph, there was the wilderness of Maon, there was the wilderness of Paran, various places where David had to go. But David was safe. He prayed on more than one occasion. I'm sure he prayed on many occasions which aren't recorded in the Bible. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And even if he could have killed Saul on two occasions, he didn't. Because Saul was the Lord's anointed. And on that last occasion, Saul left him. And David went back to where he was staying in Judah. But then we have this word. David said, "I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul." I shall now, he says, perish one day by the hand of Saul. Where was David's faith? It had come very, very low. Almost, we might say, not there at all. Not in application. The Lord had told him to be in Judah. The Lord had shielded him. The Lord had promised he would be king of Israel. Oh, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Oh, this great terrible thing and fear upon him. It had been going on now for quite some time. It had such a power and oppression upon him. And David says, "There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. There's nothing better for me." Dear friends, we say that when there's no exercise of faith, don't we? We're left to our own understanding. We're left to our own ways. We do what is right in our own eyes, in accordance with our own mind. There is nothing better for me. that I should speedily escape. You know, he came to me like this. David was in the place where the Lord would have him, in the land of Judah. We this morning, are we not in the place where the Lord would have us be? As children, you've been born to your parents. And parents, yes, we were born and brought up with our parents. We've all known what it is to be in a place where the Lord would have us be. And we have to be so thankful. But as we grow, oh, things can come in our lives which are not very pleasing. Troubles, difficulties, tribulations, as the Bible calls them. Disappointments and things which cause us grief, sorrow, maybe anger. And we don't seem to be able to do anything about it. And these troubles, and these might be one particular great trouble. We can't get rid of it. It's there all the time. Oh, the Lord has watched over us unto a particular time. But then, how easily we can say, oh, it's better for me to escape, to go somewhere else, make a major decision, to leave the circumstances you're in, and to do it just in your own understanding, not in faith. Not committing your way unto the Lord and trusting in him, for him to bring it to pass. We go our own way. Or particularly when we're growing from children to young people. Oh, many decisions come then, don't we? Many circumstances come upon us. New circumstances. New things which may trouble us. And oh, we look at our lives as we've grown up and we think, well, no, I want to be separate from this now. It may be regarding the church. You've been brought up to attend the church, the services, all your days, and oh, they're a bit of a burden to you. You can't find any interest in these things. You've been under the influence of your parents to come, and you say, oh, there's nothing better for me now to escape. To go mine own way and do that I want to do in accordance with my own mind, my own will, my own understanding. We have some teaching here, don't we, with David? I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Oh, David said, didn't he, in a psalm, oh, that I had wings as a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. When difficulties and disagreements come in our pathways affecting our hearts and our minds. Oh, that's like us, isn't it? Oh, we could fly away and be at rest. Leave them all behind. And that's what David tried to do here. There's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And so he did. Now, what we find with David, it seemed that he'd made a very good decision. He made friends with the king of the Philistines, Achish. Achish made friends with David. Achish was happy for David and his 500 men to be with him. And then David had the nerve to ask Achish to give him a city, all of his own, for his own people. And Achish gave him Ziklag, which was in the south of the Philistines. And David went there with his two wives and his men and their wives and their children. And there they stayed for 1 year and 4 months, so the Bible tells us. They settled there. And all went well. They had provision. David and his men went to the south, beyond the south of Judah, near towards the border of Egypt, and fought against the enemies of Israel, such as the Amalekites. And David enjoyed a peace from the wrath of Saul. Oh, David had escaped and all was well. But the Lord was still in the matter with David. The Lord never forsakes his people. his people may backslide and go astray and go contrary to the way the Lord would desire for them to go. And he permits them. He permits them to go their own way for a time so he may bring them back. Oh, how easily we can judge of our own selves and lift up our pride. I've made a good decision. Everything's going well. I knew what I was going to do. And this is what I have done. And it's best for me. We don't know what another day may bring forth, do we? Our times are in the Lord's hand. Never remember that. And if the Lord has brought us to believe in him, where we can say at that time of his blessing, the Lord is my God, you're ever his, and he's ever mindful of you. He won't leave you nor forsake you. That's a gracious promise. But it's a solemn promise when we're left to fall in faith and determined to go our own way. The time came when the Philistines were going to fight against Israel. And David, oh, left to himself as he was at Ziklag, enjoying this time of pleasure and prosperity, said, I will go with you. I will go and fight. How solemn to fight against your own people. You know, dear friends, when we go our own way, David linked himself to Achish, who wasn't a believer. We can go so much in our own way at times and become friends with this world and have close relations with the worldliness and ungodliness of the things of this world. And it may come that in this frame that we're in, the continuing in, we may even be tempted and brought to fight against the Lord's people, against the churches, be an adversary to them. Oh, how low David came, didn't he? Because of his sin. Because of the lack of the exercise of faith. This is something as a warning to us. Our prayer should be, Lord, increase our faith in spite of whatever difficulties and troubles we may be passing through here upon this earth. And not just to be tempted to go our own way. Now, the Lord was in this, wasn't he? Although Achish was happy for David to go with him to the battle, the princes of Philistine said to Achish, no. They had a fear that David might turn against them. That was their own wisdom, and they sent David back. But it was the Lord was in it all, wasn't it? Because while David was away, the Lord had permitted the Amalekites to come and destroy Ziklag, which was now undefended, and to take away all the people there captive. David had sinned. The chastening of the Lord was upon him. The judgment of God had come. David, you have sinned. You have departed from my ways. You are not walking by faith. You are walking in your own ways. But I will bring you back. And that's a solemn way when the Lord begins to bring us back. He has to bring us to where we come into distress. And we can do nothing. And David's distress was that not only he'd lost his two wives, and Ziklag was burnt with fire, but his 500 men spoke of stoning him, killing him. Like Saul spoke of killing him. Like initially the king of Gath, when David first fled there, spoke of killing him, thought they would kill him. David came into great danger and distress. What was David to do? He got no strength of his own against 500 men, had he? He couldn't suddenly bring those people back to Ziklag. He couldn't suddenly cause Ziklag to be built again, to restore it as it was when they'd left. David had one escape. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Oh, why should God be mindful of David now? He was a great sinner. Here we prove and see in the scriptures the great depth of the mercy of God towards his people. How great sinners they can become. But the hymn writer puts it like this, doesn't he? He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his way. He does it. The Lord is watching over. He's mindful. And his time will come when he will be the restorer of the soul. What did David say in Psalm 23? He restoreth my soul. That's what David needed. The Lord knew what he had need of. David didn't ask for it. The Lord knows what we have need of before we ask. But he made David plead for it, didn't he? The restoring of his soul, the restoring of his faith in God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What did he do? He prayed. The priest was there, Abiathar. He had an ephod. There in that ephod of the priests, there was various things which was used to answer the prayers. And David asked of the Lord, shall I overtake them? Shall I pursue after this troop, whoever they were that had destroyed Ziklag with fire? And the Lord gave him an answer to his prayer. Oh, how undeserving David was. But God knew David's heart. It was now a repentant heart. It was now a humble heart. It was now a distressed heart. He was a heart now that knew only his help was in God. And dear friends, that's our strength. When we know nothing to trust in except our God. David encouraged himself, strengthened himself in the Lord his God, in the mercy of God, in the faithfulness of God, in the grace of God, the love of God. And he received his answer. Pursue, and he received a promise. Thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail thou shalt recover all. There would be a restoring of the loss, everything he had lost, and that of his menfolk also. So having received that word from the Lord, David obeyed, David went forward. He didn't sit back and say, well, that's what the Lord's will is for me, but which way do I go? And he went forward, and the Lord provided, didn't he? You know, when we seek to obey the Lord's answer to our prayers, the Lord will provide for us in that way. Oh, David did not know where to go, how far to go, who they were. But they found this young man, who had been sick 3 days in the field. He had been amongst those who had destroyed Ziklag. And when they were kind to him and gave him food, and they did not know who he was, but through their kindness, and he gained strength, he told them exactly who it was and where he could find them. And dear friends, how mysterious is the Lord in the way he can help. One who's dependent upon him in spite of their sins, in spite of their transgressions, in spite of their waywardness. In humble prayer for his help, he supplies their need. Dear friends, God is an unchanging God. It isn't just what happened to David. These are left on record for our learning. That we through comfort and truth of the scriptures might have hope. And so this young man took them to where they came across the Amalekites, singing, dancing, rejoicing because of all the spoil they'd got. And David and his men, those that were with him, some of them were so weak, having come all the way down from Gath to Ziklag, they were too weak to go over the brook Besor, but 300 or 4 of them went, and they destroyed. Through the help of God, the Amalekites that God had spoken. Where God's word is spoken, it shall come to pass. Surely thou shalt overtake them and recover all. God hadn't permitted the Amalekites to kill any of David's, two David's wives and the wives and children of his others. Men, no. The Lord was still overruling. He rules the hearts of the unbelievers for the good of his people. Oh, what a gracious God we have to be able to say, my God, faithful God. And so they gained the, won the battle through the Lord's help from the twilight to the evening of the next day. And they brought back everything that they'd lost and everything which the Amalekites had gained through their battles. David says this is David's spoil. David had prayed, didn't he? Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? David's humble prayer in his need. We read the Lord is able to give you more than you've asked. And he did, didn't he? The Lord, in his mercy, not only gave David the return of all that had been lost and the victory over the Amalekites, but they came back with more than they had lost. Oh, how great is God, that even through our sins and the way he works, will not only supply our need, but we'll also act to it as well. But oh, that need, that additional store, that additional spoil which David brought back, what did he do with it? Did he glory in it? Did he say, yes, this is David's spoil, it was his, given to him of God through the battle. But David did not lay claim to it of his own. Those men who'd fought with him said it was theirs. Those who hadn't fought with them, those who stayed by the brook, oh, they shouldn't have any of this spoil. Give them their wives and their children back to them and tell them to go. We have won this, fought this battle. David says, no. This is what the Lord has done for us. This is what the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hands. This is the David's spoil, but given to him of God. And he wasn't to take of it just for his own glory. Oh, David was a sinner. He couldn't gain from the consequence of his sin. Even though the Lord's mercy was there, he would give it to others. He would distribute to those who had need. Oh, dear friends, there's a lesson there for us, isn't there? The good hand of God upon us. The consequence of our sins when he delivers us in our humble cry of for pardon and for forgiveness and for the restoring of that which we had neglected in going our own way. The Lord moves in a mysterious way and he brings to pass that which is for our restoring and for our additional good. Then, dear friends, to the honour and glory of God, that additional good, we're to seek to use it for the needs of others. Not to just glory in it of ourselves. There's some lessons here for us, isn't there? How do we handle that which the Lord hath given us? Through his great mercies, in answers to our prayers. Oh, how we need the Spirit of the Lord to rule our hearts, govern our words and ways, grace to abound in every part, teach our tongues to sing his praise. David's greatest possession was the forgiveness of his sin through the mercy of God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And dear friends, he didn't encourage himself in vain, did he? Well, this God is our God. Oh, to be our guide even unto death. Dear friend, we're to trust in him at all times. We're to pour out our hearts before him. He is a refuge for us. And we're to conduct ourselves in his fear. not taking all grandeur of material benefits just for our own selves, what the Lord provides for us. But yes, he will supply our needs, of course he will. But that which is above our needs, that which he provides us in those extra things, oh, we're to use it and seek for another's good where there is a need. So may we walk humbly with our God. The Lord keep us in the way that is everlasting. May we ever know his mercies that are ever sure. That mercy that endures forever, upon which, like David, we can encourage ourselves, strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God, who will supply all our need, fight our battles for us, and lead us safely to the end of life, to dwell with Christ forevermore. Amen.